2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Are you ready?
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fan Effect. I'm Andy Farnsworth. Joining me today is my co-host Tyson Webb. Tyson?
Good morning! Good afternoon. Good day.
It's nice to have you back. You know what? We've had you now for two out of the last three. This is starting a trend.
I'm feeling good.
It's nice to have you back with us.
Thanks, my friend.
And Herb Scribner, our entertainment guy for the DeseretNews.com, who has joined us for several episodes. Herb, you're becoming practically a co-host now.
Yeah, I'm becoming stronger with the force, you might say.
I do like that. And hey, what an appropriate, a very appropriate thing to say, as today we are going to dive into the trailer that dropped last night during Monday Night Football. There's already a ton of reaction online. I was surprised at myself for how kind of underwhelmed I was.
Are you kidding me? You were
watching
underwhelmed?
A little tiny bit.
I've heard that reaction.
I actually am kind of glad that I was a little bit underwhelmed, okay, because the higher the expectations get, the more impossible they are to meet.
And maybe that's what happened with the last movie with me.
You have flip-flopped more on The Last Jedi, Tyson.
Yeah, I'm pretty much dead set now that I hate the movie.
Now you hate it again. Oh, my goodness.
That hurts.
So he saw it and liked it. Then he didn't like it. Then he did like it.
No, I saw it and couldn't like...
It was a lot to process.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say I saw it and left the theater going, that was an amazing Star Wars film, because I didn't.
I have long been a defender of The Last Jedi, both
yes,
here and among my brother. And that's fine. Actually, I don't mind. If people say they didn't like it, I'm never going to say, oh, well, what's the matter with you for not liking it?
It's not my favorite.
And that's okay.
There are aspects of it I really do like.
That's okay.
And I like that he went off in a different direction, but this one looks better.
And that's fine. So this one, of course, we're talking about The Rise of Skywalker, so... Let's do it. Let's listen. Let's watch the trailer again. Well, okay, you're going to have to listen. We're going to watch it.
It's an instinct. A feeling. The Force brought us together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
But I do.
Long have I waited. And now...
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny.
Thank you. right.
Yeah, completely underwhelming. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, I fell asleep there for a minute, actually.
What's your problem?
Okay.
That Star Destroyer coming out of the water, the remnants we get to see, we're going to be on Endor, not just the forest moon of Endor, but Endor itself, where the Death Star 2 crashed into it after it blew up. There's so much going on in this movie that looks so cool. Although the horses are back, or something like them.
Yeah, and the Naomi Ackles character rides them, apparently. There was a poster of her.
Well,
somewhere.
Makes sense.
All right, so let's do this. Let's kind of break this down a little bit. First of all, parts that you liked best. What was the part that gave you the biggest goosebumps?
That Star Destroyer coming out of the water for me.
Okay.
Coming out of hiding.
For those of you who are fairly new to the podcast,
the ships,
or
way.
Have joined since Tyson stopped joining us very regularly, Tyson is a Darth Vader cosplayer.
Yeah.
With an amazing, amazing costume.
Is that true?
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's movie quality.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's always been a big Vader guy. So I'm sure that that's one of the things you were kind of hoping to sneak a peek of in this trailer, is if there's any Vader Anakin. And that's cool. But, you know, that's kind of how Tyson and I even first got to know each other, was right around, was it The Force Awakens or whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were such a big Star Wars fan, even though I'd met you at some of the movie show remotes.
Yeah.
And then when I found out that you had this sweet, awesome costume, I was like, oh, this is my kind of guy. And so we kind of first got to know each other over Star Wars. So this
is
the culmination.
Great way to getting to know somebody.
Isn't
right?
it? And then when Herb said that Star Wars was one of his favorites, I was like,
oh, yeah.
All right. Another kindred spirit. So trailer-wise, Star Destroyer coming out of the ocean, that was the part that you just were like, oh.
That was a pretty sick shot, yeah. Okay, I mean, this whole thing cinematically looks gorgeous. It looks so much better than
I will say this, that I do like J.J. Abrams' camera shot setups, like the scene where they're shooting down the hallway and it's the camera's just at floor level sweeping back and stormtroopers are dropping into sight.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. What about you, Herb?
Yeah, I liked the Star Destroyers rising out of the ocean or water, whatever you want to call it. I also loved the – we just saw it actually because it's on a loop. The shot of Rey and Kylo in the throne room.
Yes, which, from the Death Star.
Yeah, that is sick. And then this, when I first watched the trailer, and I watched the trailer like 7 times in a row last night. When I first saw the C-3PO part, I was kind of like, that's a little cheesy, whatever. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, they're going for the heart. Like, that's
hard.
Do you understand what they're doing in that scene?
I do, because if you remember from the last trailer, he has the red eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have not gone online to find the deepest spoilers. I do want to have a little bit of surprise, but I do know that there's a picture of Carrie Russell's character holding this little disc, and what I'm assuming, that disc they put in 3PO's head.
Yep.
He turns red eyes, and it's not going to be 3PO anymore, but he's essentially sacrificing himself to further whatever this mission
I hear
happens
they have to
be.
Wipe his memory and insert
in
that
order
disc
to insert that disc.
They're trying to find something.
Do you hope that it's Dr. Aphra's droid? Tell me you've read the Darth Vader comic.
I've got it.
Tyson.
And I've read like the first
James
four pages.
Webb.
James?
I don't know. I just made it up.
It's Tiberius. Get it right.
Tyson.
Oh, wait, what?
Tyson Berius Webb. How could you have not read that comic yet as a Darth Vader fan? It's great.
I don't know. I still have it. I just haven't read it.
Have you read it, Herb?
No.
I heard it's amazing.
Not a comic. It's really well done.
That's why I bought it.
He's got kind of this evil C-3PO and R2-D2 that work for him, that are both like assassin droids.
No, I don't think that's it. Hey, that floating iceberg in space
is
cool.
Oh, that's sick.
And now, is that an iceberg or is it on a water and you're seeing the reflection?
Space.
Are you sure?
I'm 80% sure that thing's in space.
Did you guys see?
Because there's no reflection of the TIE fighters coming in.
And I believe that is actually a place called, I think I was looking up online, it looks like a lot of the things that
a giant
iceberg
Kyber
thing
crystal?
Is called like Kimchi,
really?
It's something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say,
kimchi, and it smells horrible when you cook it.
I love kimchi. The other thing I was going to say, the big spiky throne of the Emperor.
Yes, the one
did
that's made out of stone.
Did you guys see the art that's circulating around from the original?
Yes, it came from Return of the Jedi, right?
Right.
That's
right.
An art piece from Return of the Jedi that they just never made, and so it made it into this movie. So that's the Emperor's throne on that iceberg thing.
Yeah,
floating in space.
It's
that's
sick.
Where he's in the outskirts of the dark or the outer rim, I guess, and hiding, and that's where
the Emperor
that's
is.
Why the forces like the Star Destroyer coming out of the ocean of wherever that is.
So the things that this, I like mean, to me, the scene that got me the most, Well, I don't know if there's a scene that got me the most as much as Luke Skywalker is Star Wars to me. I
and
felt
the
same
the
thing,
movie?
And that's what I was saying.
Like
the first time through,
yeah,
I felt the same way as everybody else. I did because I was like, "Come on, Luke, do the thing that I always root for you to do."
Yeah.
But the second and the third times through, I changed my opinion because once I said, "Okay, Luke's not doing what I wanted him to do," mm-hmm. was what he was doing. Did it fit? Did it feel like a thing? Like I've said this before. Like, okay, if you set the rules, that's fine. I'll take your as the director or the writer. You've set these rules, but you better obey your own rules. And I was like, okay. So the question is Luke still following? Do I think this is within character? And I say yes only because I feel like what Rian Johnson did, and I don't want to rehash The Last Jedi as we talk about Rise of Skywalker too much, but he made us. In the audience, especially people yours and my age, mm-hmm. we were Rey. We get to see Luke Skywalker, the legend, what we've built up in our minds. Mm-hmm. We get to meet him again. And we know for sure that Luke's going to whip out his green lightsaber and he's going to just kick some serious ass because that's who he is. He's Luke Skywalker. And if it's been 30 years since he was just barely getting and he was already a pretty awesome butt kicker, mm-hmm. now he's going to be 30 years better. And we didn't get that. And so we are mad, mm-hmm. just like Rey is mad. Like, dude, what are you doing? Come help us. You're the savior of the resistance, which is what we all thought. And so when he didn't do it for his reason, and he says, you know, I alone can't save this thing.
I don't know how many times you said hubris in that movie, but it was more than twice.
Yeah.
Right? Did you like Last Jedi, first of all?
So Last Jedi, I like it on the whole.
When just like Preparation H?
There were moments.
Sorry, that's an Austin Powers reference.
There were moments during it where I was like, I think we can all agree that the
bite sucked.
Yeah, that and the Leia moment where she's like Superman.
I actually kind of like that.
Oh, that was Peter Pan.
Oh, Peter Pan. Okay.
They called it Mary Poppins.
That's actually closer. Yeah.
That I couldn't, like, I was kind of like, okay, whatever. But on the whole, like, at the end of it, I was like, okay. And I left feeling, when I left Force Awakens, I was like, okay, I'm excited for the next one. And then after Last Jedi, I was like, I'm not really excited for the next one. And, like, I was kind of like, oh, they could just end it right here.
Okay, so when they were touching each other, like, feeling their fingers through the Force, did you have Han in your mind say, that's not how the Force works? Because I did.
No.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that.
But hey, new Force powers have always been released and kind of shown in new movies anyway, so that's...
And I
came to terms with that a long time
ago.
And
I had a friend who's she has never seen the originals and never seen the prequels, uh-huh. but she loves Rogue One, loves Force Awakens.
Rogue One is amazing.
And is obsessed with Last Jedi. Yeah. And so we watched it together, and she pointed out every little thing that was like... Rian Johnson's like style and it opened my eyes to like, okay, this is a different movie and it's a different movie on purpose, which is interesting. I still, yeah, the Canto Bite
which
stuff
I do
is,
have
like,
to say I think it needed because after The Force Awakens a lot of people were saying this is just a rehash of A New Hope, and so we didn't want to see another Empire Strikes Back
right.
in the trilogy. So
but
I
when you're telling
well.
A three-act story, you have to have the second act,
yeah.
not necessarily a cliffhanger, but you have to leave the second act with the people in a precarious position that the third act then resolves.
Well, they did. I mean, the resistance was
shattered.
20 people.
As far as they knew, that was it. The 20 people on the ship, and no one else was going to do anything.
This movie, isn't it like a year after?
I actually haven't heard the timetable.
I think it's close to a year from what I understand, but maybe.
Yeah, I know time has passed. Sure how long.
They've amassed, the resistance has obviously grown, so they've amassed more people to come fight with them. They say in the trailer.
Well, they finally got people to stand up.
Is that Poe in the trailer saying if.
It sounded like Poe.
Right.
If people will follow, if you'll lead them.
Yeah, good people will fight. Anyway.
To me, the fun of watching a trailer is trying to figure, and this is also the curse of watching a trailer. And this is why I actually don't watch, I've made myself a rule, I don't watch a trailer within a month of seeing the movie. Because my brain, and it happened with Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, yeah.
My brain immediately starts trying to piece together, okay, what's the order that these things actually happen in?
Yeah.
Is this earlier? Is this later? What part is this?
Yeah.
And I can't turn that off.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so
I do. I watch it, and I just take it for what it's worth. I get excited over the visuals, and then I turn it off because I don't like to, like... try to figure out what's going on because I want to be surprised. I want to have a good experience in the theater. So I'm not one of those who tries to dissect a movie from its trailer. Plus, trailers are so many times misleading, and especially JJ's trailers.
And that's what
I
mean.
A lot of what we see here probably won't
just happens
the
in the. That's true, and it also a lot of it will happen in the first 10 minutes of the movie. You're like, oh, I've seen everything that was in the trailer. You're hoping that the what?
The hairdryer droid, the new one, BB-8's friend.
Oh, the little tiny one?
Oh, my gosh. It looks like a hairdryer, doesn't it, the top?
I didn't even think about that, but now you've ruined it for me. Thanks a lot.
The thing that this trailer does a lot, which I picked up from the Avengers trailers especially, they do this, but this one a lot, it's like line of dialogue and then like a significant pause and then like what seems to be the end of that sentence.
They did that in The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
I'm looking for someone to show me my place in all of this. And then you see Kylo holding out his hand. Yep. And you're like, no, Rey, don't join Kylo.
Yeah.
Is he the only one that will teach you? But
I'm excited to see some planets that we've seen before in Star Wars. I'm excited to see some new ones. Just the visuals alone are amazing. And I'm really curious to see what JJ will do with this, especially with the return of Palpatine.
We talked about this on the last podcast about villains. I'm the biggest, I mean, not the biggest, but I'm a huge Palpatine fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Palpatine stan, they might say, on the internet. big fan of him. And I'm
excited
don't to
know
see
what
they
that
do.
Means.
I think it's interesting. It's like a super fan. It's, based off of the super fan kind of thing. I'm a big fan of Palpatine. I'm excited to see what they do. It's interesting to me we haven't seen a shot of him. Which
no,
I guess
but
is
we came
purpose.
Close. We saw his hood, or at least what appears to be his hood.
And you can
and
see
it looks
he's
like he's on some kind of walker sort of thing.
Walker or floaty thing, yeah. And with all the hoses and things, like if you look at the side and freeze the frame, like he's using some of the tech he probably used for Vader to keep himself alive. Like,
but
he's
here's
using
the thing,
some
how... this is
some technology to keep himself alive.
These are good questions. That was one of the things I wanted. This segues right into it. What are the things that you want this movie to answer? Since we can still do that, since we're still in trailer time, what are some questions that you want the Rise of Skywalker to answer?
I can't decide if I want to know Rey's real parentage or not. I know that Rian Johnson kind of threw that aside, but I don't think JJ wants to.
I like that, that they're nobodies.
They did. And JJ, because he's still like, even Rey says, everybody says they know me, but nobody really does or whatever, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Did he throw that in just to throw everybody
exactly,
off?
Exactly, right?
Some of the rumors that I've heard are that she is a clone that Palpatine was hoping to use, which is why she got stashed on Jakku.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Of Palpatine or...
I don't know. Could you imagine anybody getting with Palpatine?
I don't know. Do you care
let's
about
be honest.
Lineage at this point?
No, I've kind of after Last Jedi, I kind of like succumbed to the idea of because everyone complains like, oh, this is the Skywalker saga, right? Like it needs to be about a Skywalker, but we have Ben Solo,
right?
Or
he's
you
a
know,
Skywalker.
I mean, he's a Skywalker. Technically, he's part of that lineage. So I came to
and
terms
Luke's
with that.
Back in this movie, you know, Leia's in this movie. Like we have all the Skywalkers we could ever want in this movie.
Yeah, and I think something like I don't want her. Like I was a big supporter of the theory that she would be a Kenobi, which I thought would have been a nice touch. Luke teaching Kenobi, you know. But now I'm kind of the opinion that like I wouldn't. I would be a little like. Kind of whatever if she ended up being a Skywalker or a Solo or something like that. I wouldn't like that. I do like this idea that I've heard like since this trailer, especially this idea of her being a clone that wasn't used or something like that would be interesting. But again, kind of like
at this, I agree. And at this point, for me personally, I don't care. I think leaving it a mystery actually lends itself to the storyline and actually gives it more depth and more something to think about. Like when you have to explain everything, like midichlorians, I hate that.
Do you think we're going to hear about midichlorians in this movie?
I
think we are.
You think so?
Because he's going to tie all nine movies together.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for. So I might talk about Last Jedi and how much people hate it. I'm a big prequels fan.
Really?
Especially Revenge of the Sith.
Impressive.
Love Revenge of the Sith.
Most impressive.
And so I
nice.
I want more prequel shout outs.
Yeah, I think we'll get it.
I'm hoping.
The thing is
I would love for it to tie into the Clone Wars. Clone Wars did a good job and Rebels did a good job of tying into the movies. People argue that part of the reason that the prequels are more positively remembered. Which, by the way, The Last Jedi will be more positively remembered given another 10 years.
What?
But Part of it is because through the Clone Wars, Dave Filoni told 7 years worth of stories to finally you get to know all the characters that you only got to meet briefly in the prequel movies.
Yeah, I really think they're going to use the Clone Wars to segue and to tie into other TV shows on Disney Plus, like The Mandalorian and things like that, as they come
out. Yeah, I think they'll probably do that.
I really think they'll tie them into that part of the universe. I don't know. I mean, with what Ryan did, it seemed like he didn't advance the story a whole lot. And for JJ to take...
See, and I thought that was the point, was to say...
pull them together, right, or all eight movies, and pull them together into one ending crescendo is going to be a feat of master. I mean, I don't know how he's going to do it. It better be a 3.5-hour movie.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Reasons. Yeah, no one's going to go see it if it's that long.
I think it is going to be 2.5. I think it's like 2 hours and 35 minutes, which is the longest Star Wars movie.
The uncut version, like the...
I thought Last Jedi was 240-something.
I don't know. I did see it was the longest.
Last Jedi was long.
I do see this one's going to be the longest. The interesting thing is, I think this was with Force Awakens. I've watched so many movie trailers over the years. The one thing that's interesting about movie trailers, and we kind of talked about this with the dialogue, but the scenes even, like, theoretically, like, this, everything we just saw could take place in the first, like, 30
minutes,
hour, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And there's still a whole movie, which is
crazy.
And
that's what I like, because nobody likes a trailer that gives away everything. Nobody does.
No.
And that's part of the reason that I don't want to watch, because that's what I end up doing is, my memory serves me well, but it also hurts sometimes. If I watch the trailer too close to the movie, then I spend the whole movie, oh, I remember this from the trailer, and then I start thinking, oh, when is this scene coming up?
That's why I try to block it out after. I see the visuals, exactly. I get excited for it, and I block it.
I don't want to be like, oh, you know what we haven't seen yet?
Yeah.
Is this. And I thought that in The Last Jedi, because so much had happened, I was like, wait a minute, we haven't even seen the little planet with the ice crystals and the red dust kicking up, and I was like, a whole lot has already happened,
and
we haven't even seen that yet.
That could be very distracting for me, because I'm like, but it's also exciting, because it's like, oh, I still have like another, like, we haven't hit this point yet, like, there's still a lot of movie to go, and I get excited because that way the movie doesn't end.
You know what's funny is we watched the trailer for The Last Jedi, we watched the trailer for The Force Awakens, we watched the trailer for Rise of Skywalker, and I remember racing home from being at a play with my wife because the Revenge of the Sith trailer was going to be on TV, and I recorded the program that it was on.
I think it aired during an episode of The OC, which is a.
I think you're right, because it was Fox.
It
was Fox at the time.
Little trivia.
I was going to say, how do you remember that?
And I had to record an episode of The OC just so I could watch the trailer.
Yes, yes.
It's the highest rated episode ever.
I think George Lucas appeared on that episode. Like, yeah, anyway.
Well, he was the kid in the show was a Star Wars fan, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Adam Brody's character?
Yeah, Seth, yep.
I can't believe I know that much from a show I never actually watched. But we watched the trailers, and then we want it to give stuff away, but we don't want it to give it away. But then I watched people that make trailers for the original trilogy based on these style of trailers, because we had terrible trailers in the 1970s and the 1980s. Have you seen the original Empire Strikes Back trailer?
It's terrible.
It's a bunch of paintings and a couple of pictures that they do in this weird sort of... I can't even describe it. You almost have to look at it. Maybe we'll put that on our Facebook page, some of the links on YouTube to the old Star Wars trailers. But watching some of the people make trailers now, and part of the fun is it's not giving anything away, but I watch it thinking, okay, what would this trailer make me think if I didn't know the story? And how cool, and some of them, it's cooler to watch those fan-made trailers after I've already seen the movie 100 times than it is to watch this trailer for a movie I don't know what's going to happen.
I saw an Empire Strikes Back trailer about a year ago that I just fell in love with. Like, I watched it 3 or 4 times. It was so good.
Is it the guy who has like a big red A at the bottom of his...
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Year,
but somebody does them really well. And they mix them with the same music for whatever the current Star Wars trailer is.
It pulled in so much emotion. I was like, that was awesome. I would go see them. Oh, wait.
And I think with my young kids, because my twins, my six-year-old twins, have only seen the Phantom Menace, Solo, and Rogue One so far.
Solo.
Wow.
So I decided I only have one shot at this with them. So I wanted to try it in an order of, I wanted to deliberately skip. It's kind of the hatchet method, which if you've not heard, the hatchet method is you watch episode 4, then 5, then you jump back and watch 2 and 3, or 1, 2, and 3. The hatchet is you chop out 1 and throw it out altogether. But I was
You can watch 1 as when they're in the hangar bay and Darth Maul is revealed from that point forward.
Yeah, but
you
I think, especially for a six-year-old, it was fun to start with, you know, this is the Star Wars movie for kids. They're all for kids, by the way. That's one of the, Kevin Smith argues that people are having trouble reacting.
Well, George Lucas said he made it for a
12-year-old
boy, right?
Those toy sales, you know, you gotta market.
Yeah.
That's not the only reason he made these movies.
Maybe.
He was forward-thinking, though, in just about everything. He was forward-thinking on the toy sales. If you've watched The Toys That Made Us on Netflix, watch the Star Wars episode of The Toys That Made Us. Really, really insightful stuff, because they didn't even have toys and they didn't think there was going to be a market for toys. And the way toys were made as how they related to movies changed completely after the Star Wars movies.
Most of our favorite iconic toys were accidents.
They really were. It's a great series. Have you seen it, Herb?
No.
I highly, highly recommend it. I think we did an episode about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've done a lot of things over the
years. Star Wars.
I was just talking about how watching, I have the chance to show my kids the story and see how they react, watching them kind of out of sequence. But so my thinking as I did this was, we watch Phantom Menace. They're 6 years old. There's a kid in it that they can be like, oh, that would be fun to be me. I wish I could fly a ship like Anakin does. And lightsabers are cool. And Darth Maul looks like a cool bad guy.
Yeah.
Then we skip 2 and 3. So we know there's an Anakin. We know there's an Obi-Wan. We know that there's a Palpatine. And we know that there's Jedis. So we know all of this stuff. Now we jump ahead to Solo. So as a six-year-old, they're not going to be like, you know, well, what happened in between? They're just like, okay, now we know there's an Empire. We know that there's a Han Solo and that there's a Chewbacca. And there's a ship called the Millennium Falcon and there's a Lando Calrissian. Now we go to Rogue One, and now there's Jedis are all gone, except for Obi-Wan Kenobi, who we remember as a younger guy.
Right.
We find out that Anakin Skywalker is dead, and we've got this kid, Luke, who's his son. So this is, it's one of those things, like you've seen it in shows, they do a time jump.
Yeah.
This is a deliberate time jump, and now there's an Empire, but there's no more Republic.
Interesting.
And you don't see the Emperor. Or hear his name other than his name is the Emperor. So at this point, you couldn't even make the connection that Palpatine is the Emperor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because he was just the Chancellor of the Republic at the end of Phantom Menace.
Right.
And so now we're in to Rogue One. We just hear the Emperor. We hear about the Emperor. We hear the Death Star. We see Darth Vader in Rogue One at the, you know, in a couple of different scenes.
We do.
And we get to see him super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's where we are. So the next is going to be, we may rewatch the very ending of Rogue One because it's been about a month or two.
Yeah.
So that we can get into A New Hope so that they can see how the one follows right after the other. Because they're six and I don't even know if they'll remember. But and then we do it the hatchet method. We're going to watch 5 and then we're going to jump back because the whole thing, and I'm going to play this up to the kids, like, what? Could Darth Vader really be Luke's father? Like, I thought Anakin was Luke's father. And then we jump back to Attack of the Clones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Revenge of the Sith. And then we go to Return of the Jedi. It can be like, oh my gosh, it looks like Luke can do the same thing that Darth Vader did.
Yeah. My favorite part of that method, me and my friends in college, we watched that in one day. It was a crazy day. but my favorite takeaway from that method is when Padme gives birth. That is a huge twist that you don't get if you watch the movies like 4, 5, 6 and then 1, 2, 3 because she's giving birth to like Luke and then it's like Leia and you're like, because you haven't seen Return of the Jedi yet in that sequence.
Mm. Yeah.
So you don't know that they're brother and sister and that's like, boom. I love that part. That's a great idea. I'm going to do the same with my kids.
Cool.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought. I was just trying to say, okay, I've got the whole canon now to work with for the most part. And these are my youngest kids. I've already done it different ways. All the older kids know all the spoilers. There's probably no way to really avoid the spoiler of Darth Vader being Luke's father because I have older kids who can't shut their mouths. So that part I'm giving up that the six-year-olds. Plus, as a six-year-old, I was 5 when Empire Strikes Back came out. The reveal was a surprise, but I was more concerned with Han Solo being frozen in carbonite and not getting saved than I was really worried about Darth Vader being Anakin Skywalker instead of being Anakin Skywalker's killer. So I kind of am just stipulating that there's no way at this point that you can really avoid somebody telling somebody that Darth Vader's Luke's father. But everything else I think I can do.
Yeah.
They saw Yoda. but you still get the surprise of Yoda flipping around with the lightsaber.
Right.
It takes a little bit of the surprise of who Yoda is on Dagobah the first time Luke meets him.
Right.
Which is, you know, but you could see, oh, wow, Yoda's didn't do anything in Phantom Menace, and he doesn't do much in Empire, like, physically. So you still get to have the fun surprise of Matrix Yoda.
Right.
And then you don't ask the question, why doesn't Yoda do Matrix stuff again? And so I'm hoping we get to see. So anyway, I think I got us off a little bit off track, but back to Rise of Skywalker.
Christmas is going to be good this year.
It's going to be good.
And I just hope R2-D2's in it for more than 40 seconds.
I feel like I need to point out
in the last movie that those two droids were not really in it very much.
Yeah, and I think that goes to like kind of why
they're also old, man. First of all, Kenny Baker's dead.
That's okay.
And Anthony Daniels.
Hasn't been anybody in R2 for a
long time.
I kid
you not, my coworker today was like, well, who did they get for C-3PO's voice in this trailer clip?
Oh, wow.
I was like, it was Anthony Daniels. Still no, it isn't. Yeah, it is. He doesn't sound anything like that. I was like, well, he does now.
Technically,
he should sound exactly the same as A New Hope, but that's a whole other story.
I think the droids definitely help it feel more like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this trailer... I mean, there is something, and maybe it's just because, like, there's less Luke, maybe it's less droids, but it does seem like there's a smidge of this that's like it feels less Star Wars. It's Star Wars and it's in Star Wars universe, but there's something that's like missing and I don't know what it is.
In this current trilogy?
Yeah, and I hope that this last movie you get that with like Palpatine, maybe like more the Force ghosts, and you just get more of that stuff that like makes it feel. I think that's what my issue with Last Jedi was like, they're introducing these horses. They're taking to this like gambling planet, and it's all these things that's like, oh, it's Star Wars, but it's
Star
not
Wars adjacent.
Star Wars. It's like, yeah, it's like.
I felt the same way with Solo. I thought that that did not feel like Star Wars at all. Like,
right.
Really?
The sets, the speeders, other than the Millennium Falcon, which at first still didn't feel like Star Wars because it had that cargo thing at the front of it,
right.
Whatever it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel, and that's why I don't like Galaxy's Edge. I feel like it looks just like Solo.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. Well, Tyson, it's been good having you.
Thanks, my friend.
Herb and I are going to talk a bit more.
All right. I got to go to a meeting. You guys enjoy, but I can't wait for this movie.
Well, I'm sure that we shall discuss it much. We've got a lot of Star Wars content coming over the next month or two. Tyson, thanks for being in. Herb, I did want to get your thoughts on, you were just talking about what does and doesn't feel like Star Wars. I think that's an interesting topic, and I hadn't thought of it that way, and I can kind of see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be a good podcast. What makes something Star Wars?
Yeah.
Because you think about how different people, I mean, there was a whole group that hate the prequel trilogy.
Yeah,
hate
totally
the prequel trilogy.
Right.
And there's a group already that hate The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I'm noticing it's the same people.
Yep.
Not all. You know, my younger brother liked the prequel trilogy, loved the original trilogy, hates The Last Jedi.
Right.
But what is Star Wars? It's something different to everybody.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I'm not sure there's ever been a thing that is so generally loved, but loved for these specifically different reasons.
Right.
And everyone has such a specifically different experience. I said when Endgame came out, I was like, man, I don't know if there'll ever be a cinematic experience like going through those Marvel movies the first time over 10 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, capping it off with Endgame.
Yeah.
Star Wars, you can trace back 40 years. And I don't think that there could ever be something like this again either. You know, we all thought that the trilogies were gone after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
We didn't think that at the time of Return of the Jedi. But, you know, 6-7 years later when there had been nothing and they'd stopped making the toys, then it was like, maybe we just are never going to see Star Wars again. The books reinvigorated a little bit.
Right.
Heir to the Empire, 1990, 91-ish.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they make the toys again in 95, and then suddenly they're going to redo the special editions, and then suddenly there's an episode one.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we get to episode three in 2005, and George Lucas is like, I really am done this time. I'm old, and I've made the stuff, and that's going to be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go 7, 8, 9 more years.
Yep.
where we're just like, okay, we have six movies. You know, there's some of the side stuff. Oh, now we have the Clone Wars series. Maybe we'll get that silly TV show that we've heard about.
Yep, yep.
And then all of a sudden, Disney buys Star Wars. And we come to find out that Lucas is like, okay, you guys can go ahead and make some more. If I'm going to sell this to you, you go ahead and make it. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure he could have put terms in the deal of selling the licensing to Disney of saying, you can do this, but not this. This is the term if you want to buy it from me.
Totally.
I know he kind of forced Kathleen Kennedy on them. I know that a lot of people wish he hadn't done that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have an opinion one way or the other on that because I don't think she's all that bad. But same. I can see some missteps she's made and not realizing sooner that, okay, we're actually going to curate this brand a lot more than we thought.
Yeah,
instead of bringing on directors and then saying, never mind, you're not doing it the way we want. You should have decided up front, hey, we're going to do it this way. Do you guys want to come on and do it like that?
Right.
I'm glad that J.J. Abrams is finishing up this trilogy because I think it's only fair since he's the one who set this in motion.
Yeah.
And then everybody complained. I feel like I'm like Rian Johnson's friend because he gets all this hatred when J.J. Abrams put all those pieces on the board there.
Yeah.
He could have started from anything.
Yep.
That's what he chose to do. And then he hands it off to Rian Johnson, and Rian Johnson's like, well, why is Luke on the island? I don't know. Why didn't he help? I don't know. I better come up with something.
Yeah, you got to come up with something. And I think he did twist a little bit, zigged wherever we thought he would zag. But I think like that keeps it interesting. And I think...
But now J.J. Abrams has to come back and answer all the questions that he started.
Right.
Okay, fine.
And that's fair. That's fair for him.
Exactly.
That's fair for the franchise. Like, and it makes sense. And if The Last Jedi is the one that sticks out, I think that's fine. Because like you said earlier, it's the second one. It's the middle piece. It could be a little different. Now J.J. Abrams just has to bring it home.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of critics of J.J. Abrams who say that his endings aren't that great. And that he...
Do you think they are?
I think... I mean, I
because you've watched Lost. I haven't watched Lost.
I love the ending of Lost.
Okay.
I do. I really do love the ending of Lost. But I know that... I still have to explain it to people.
Okay.
So that's why. But I think this will be good because this is like a finite ending. It's going to be.
My brother's argument is if you have to explain it to somebody, then the storyteller didn't do a very good job.
That's fair. I think in a year, especially with like Game of Thrones, like I know the ending of that show was like really bad. It was bad. And like critics thought it was bad. Generally, people make fun of it now. I think that Star Wars will be fine with how it ends and how they wrap everything up. And I think especially because everyone has so much hate for The Last Jedi that like people you're going to make mad about the ending are already mad about Last Jedi. So they're already mad about the franchise. So you just have to make sure that the core fans who support you like how it ends.
That's fair. And I think they will. I mean, J.J. Abrams, he proved with The Force Awakens, he knew how to fan service.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
That was one of the things that George Lucas, if you remember his comments right after The Force Awakens came out, there was a whole thing online. You still find the YouTube videos where it's like, George Lucas is a bitter old man because J.J. Abrams figured out how to make a Star Wars movie that people liked. And to me, that's, I don't want to sound elitist here, but that's like a really not know a lot about George Lucas and history kind of a viewpoint. And so, because I don't mean to be elitist, but that his comment didn't surprise me. In fact, when I saw Last Jedi, I said, I bet George Lucas likes this one much more than he liked The Force Awakens. And he had a comment to Time, and this was the one that everybody kind of raked him over the coals for, was I could have made a movie that made $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, every time I wanted to make a new movie, I wanted to do something different.
Right.
And if you watch the making ofs, all these movies that are all on the discs, the extras on DVDs, he talks about, and sometimes this bugged me because, hey, even though I'm cool with George Lucas doing what he did, there's the part of me, it's the same thing that I had the same reaction as everybody else watching Last Jedi. I wanted Luke to be heroic the whole time.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was looking forward to. And then he didn't, and that left me feeling dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that part in me too, but George Lucas would say things like, you know, it'd be kind of fun to do a little musical thing here. Well, does anybody really feel like the musical number in Jabba's Palace was necessary to make Return of the Jedi a cool movie?
No.
And if people were going to fan edit it down to just the coolest stuff, that goes quick.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yub Nub goes.
Yeah.
Although people liked it because it was the emotional wrapping up of everything.
Right.
But they didn't like it getting changed, but I really like that instrumental musical piece.
Yeah, it's cool. It works.
But George Lucas is just like, I want to try this thing. I want to do this thing. You know, I want to see what happens if I do a movie with all this green screen. How's it going to look? Is it believable? Yes and no.
Right.
I think you can do a lot more in a lot less time than having to build out all the practical effects. But we also learned that sometimes the practical effects are just as cool to watch as the special effects.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to do all these different things. So then when J.J. Abrams makes the movie, and, you know, George Lucas had just gotten hammered for three straight movies in the prequels.
Right, right.
And then everybody's like, oh, finally, somebody who understands Star Wars, as if the creator of Star Wars doesn't understand it.
Right, especially because that people movie like, is so similar to A New Hope, right?
Exactly.
J.J. Abrams plays fan service. He makes a film that's like George Lucas's film. So obviously people are going to like that.
George Lucas is like, I know what happens to make money. Like,
yeah.
If I wanted to, I could have played with my toys until you gave me all of your money.
Yeah.
For the rest of time.
Well, there's a reason why he could have had someone do the writing and the directing for the prequel trilogy, given his ideas, and then maybe, and it would have, you know, been...
It would have probably been liked more by the original trilogy fans.
Right. But he, you know, he took it on himself.
Stuff, the best stuff was Empire, which he then turned over to, his name's slipping my mind at the moment, the director of Empire.
Is it Ralph something?
No. It's not Ian McDiarmid. That's the only name that keeps coming to my mind. Oh. But at any rate, the director, I'm failing my Star Wars card right now. I have to give it back, my fan card, if I can't think of who directed Empire Strikes Back. Well, at any rate, I argue that part of the reason that Star Wars was good was because Lucas had to fight the studio. Part of the reason that Empire was good was because it wasn't just him. And so his director... Oh, gosh, I got to look it up.
Yeah,
it's going to drive me crazy. You look it up real quick.
Okay.
His director and him could go back and forth. The director could say, no, let's change this. Let's do this one different. And George has to eventually defer and say, you're directing the movie. Same with Richard Marquand did Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
Come on, it should be an easy search. Empire Strikes Back director.
My internet is just not...
Oh, okay.
You know how the internet goes. All right, here we go.
I know there's an I in there.
Irvin
Kershner. Yep.
There we go.
I knew it started with an I. Yeah. But Irvin Kershner did a great job. Marquand, depends, but he was wrapping up a story. You know, people would cut the Ewoks if they could, but guess what? Ewoks were the 7-year-old's favorite part of Return of the Jedi.
Right. I mean, this is... And I think that's a weird... I think that speaks to also how people view the Star Wars franchise, is that, like... And I could be wrong here, but it seems like the people who love the original... I think everybody loves the originals, hands down.
Yeah.
But the people who don't like the prequels, like, I don't mind the prequels, but I was also 9 when Phantom Menace came out. So I grew up with the prequels.
Yep.
And, like, my little cousin, he's 13 now, and he was 4, or sorry, he was 9 when Force Awakens came out. So this is his trilogy. And he grew up as a kid watching the Clone Wars. So I think a lot of it has to do with what age you are. Because, like you said earlier, it's targeted towards 12-year-old boys. It's targeted towards a younger generation. And so I think sometimes there's that disconnect, right? When you're an adult watching a series that, like, a kid's going to love, I think there's that disconnect there.
Jar Jar Binks annoyed me.
Ugh.
He did annoy me. But when you were 9, did you think he was the worst?
No, actually, no. I think it wasn't until I was in my teenage years that I was like, oh, yeah, that guy was really annoying. I'm actually hoping, low-key, I'm hoping for a Jar Jar Binks redemption in this.
Nope.
But I really don't
think it's gonna
happen.
He's in the novel, in one of the novelizations.
He's a clown or something like that?
Essentially just a street jester. He's just had a full fall from grace.
That's so sad.
And the character comments that it's sad that a former senator, this is now what he's reduced to. But it's also what he's forced to do under Palpatine's empire.
Right.
And Palpatine's a notorious species elitist. And,
right.
You know, that's also one of the reasons why all the Empire were humans. so they kind of retcon the history of, how come there weren't any, like, aliens? Well, the true reason is it's expensive to make alien costumes.
That's true.
So there's not a lot of aliens. So they're all, you know, the original was the aliens were in the bar.
Yep.
And Han had an alien and everybody else was humans.
Yep.
So then once this became a thing and they're like, well, how do we explain that? Yeah, the Emperor is an elitist. He's a kind of a racist for humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like
that. And that's kind of, that actually factors into Grand Admiral Thrawn's history.
Right.
He's now part of canon thanks to Rebels. And
I'm very happy about that.
Is that the Emperor kind of kept that on the down low because he recognized that this guy was good, but, you know, he couldn't let everybody see. Yeah. At any rate.
Yeah.
Well, so Rise of Skywalker, I was a little underwhelmed by the trailer as far as, like, giving me the goosebumps and immediately want to go see it. I'm going to go see it. I know I'm going to see it. And I know I'm going to probably like it because I've liked all the others.
Yeah.
I don't see myself not liking this one. But I don't feel like this... I don't know. I mean, really, I could have gone with or without a trailer. I love seeing it.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't seen it, I'm still going to see the movie. And I'm still going to probably like the movie.
Yeah, I think this trailer, too, one of the things that kind of gets missed here is that it aired during halftime of Monday Night Football. It's targeted towards a large audience. It's targeted towards casual moviegoer. But it did offer enough fan service that, you know, fans get excited. I had the same reaction first time I watched it. Very underwhelmed. Very kind of like, all right, Star Wars, I get it. Like, I didn't need to see it, like you said. The D23 special look and the original teaser sold it for me anyway, and I'm going to see it. This does, however, it does make me a little, but then as I watched it more and you pick up on little things and you're like kind of seeing these like visual like elements of it, it got more exciting for me. And it does, I am a little nervous in a good way of how it all comes together, how it's going to end and what it's going to mean moving forward. How this might lead into kind of the Disney Plus stuff, the other franchises they're developing, or the other movies, I should say, that they're developing, and everything like that. I think it'd be nice though to, after this film, take a break from theater movies from Star Wars for a little bit, focus on Disney Plus, and then kind of come back to it. But it's exciting, it's cool, and I think people are going to like this. I have a feeling people are going to end up liking it more than they liked Last Jedi.
I'm trying to think if there's going to be a theater going experience again like this. This is going to wrap up the saga.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to wrap a story that has spanned 40 years now.
Yeah.
No, there's never been anything like that.
No, and I think, you know, the Marvel with Endgame...
Marvel's probably the closest.
Closest.
And they did that over 10 years.
Right, 10 years, 22 movies. So, and as I've said on this podcast before, those movies have like a rhythm to it. They're very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Great films, but similar. But this is different because it's multiple generations, multiple childhoods. It's, you know...
And time passes, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this does take place... 40 years, I mean, there's a little bit of time mess up.
Yeah.
But this takes place 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
It takes place technically like 50 or 60 years after the prequel trilogy.
Right.
So some of the characters, you know, have been around a while. Chewbacca, they're just, oh, yeah, you know what, Wookiee, so they're 250 years old.
Yeah, he's on that AARP. the one thing I'll say is also, too, and I was growing up, I was obsessed with a lot of the books, the Expanded Universe books, and I was a little let down that they were no longer deemed canon, right? But
they've been picking and choosing what to bring back
in. Which is cool.
I like that.
So even that, like, it's kind of sad that, like, this is the end of the Skywalker stuff. So even, like, that whole journey is just going to come to an end. And it'll be cool to see what they do outside the Skywalker scenario. But it is, yeah, I don't know if you're going to have a moment like this for a while.
Do you think you'll cry?
It depends on how they hit you. I mean, like, the Leia moment at the end really got me, and the 3PO moment in the trailer got me as well. If there's some kind of, like, Luke, Anakin, Rey-like moment, like, I'm done for.
I'll tell you what, if anything's going to make me cry in this movie, it's going to be the music.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Oh, yeah. Whatever theme, I have listened to the soundtracks thousands of times.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the music of my life.
Yep.
And Last Jedi got me several times.
Yeah.
Several times.
John Williams is going to go super.
And this is his last
super,
one.
Yeah, he's going to go super hard on this one. I think he's going to, and it'll be cool too, because like J.J. Abrams is going to wrap everything up. I could see John Williams using elements of all the Star Wars scores and putting them together and kind of like finding some cool elements. I'm excited for this movie. I think it's giving me similar vibes of how I felt about Force Awakens, where it's, I don't know what to expect, but I have a lot of hopes. Last Jedi, I was like, you're set up for this stuff, so like you have questions to answer, and like you're really like focused on that. This is more like, I know the answers are coming, they gotta come, but I'm also excited to see. I think J.J. Abrams is just a fun director to watch in general, right? Like he's good at what he does, and I think he's gonna put this to a good ending.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, what do you think? You've watched the Rise of Skywalker trailer probably as many times as we have. Are you as excited about it? Were you a little underwhelmed like me, the big Star Wars fan? You know, I'll admit talking about this has gotten me a little bit more excited. And
totally.
So I'm kind of looking forward. I was never going to not look forward to it, but I just hadn't got into the mood yet. It's really going to ramp up between now and Christmas, and this will just be a blast. We got lots of Star Wars content coming to you. Herb, you'll probably be with us for most of it.
I'm excited.
Because I love just discussing Star Wars stuff. Maybe we'll even do the... I've always wanted to have a contest with somebody who's watched Star Wars where we play Star Wars Trivial Pursuit and see if we can win it all in one round.
That's exciting. That'll be fun.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. I'm grateful that Herb Scribner from the Deseret News joined us again, and Tyson Webb, our longtime co-host. And we'd love to hear what your thoughts were on Rise of the Skywalker trailer, the final one we're probably going to get between now and when the movie comes out on December 20th. We'll definitely have a review for you, a very deep dive once we get to see the movie, and we'll be talking Star Wars a lot between now and Christmas. Thanks for joining us. If you've been... if you've never listened to the podcast before, we invite you to become a subscriber. You can go to Spotify, search Fan Effect, EFFECT. There's two of them right now. We're trying to get that fixed. Pick the one that has KSL Podcast down in the lower corner. That's got all the rest of the good ones. And it's also available on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you the next one.